I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Pie.
The Unrivaled Players Club with Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey, and BYU's Jaren Hall.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled Players Club brought to you by UCCU. Love where you bank. I love when we have these full nights, you know, where we got basketball going on, we got football going on.
Got an NFL coach getting fired. Yeah, I mean, you news know, in the middle of
I just, oh man, just, I feel. I just really enjoy John Gruden. I just hate that, you know, this has to happen. I really do. I just you know, and if you're just tuning in with this, Raiders coach John Gruden fired or resigned.
Yeah, technically resigned.
Due to emails from about 10, 11 years ago that were apparently racist and misogynistic.
Had some racial undertones in some of them. Misogynistic, homophobic. Terminology that he used about Roger Goodell. The commissioner of the league. So I think all that just kind of added up to the, you know, then you have to do the math if you're an organization and go, can we weather this? Can we figure it out?
It's hard. It's hard when it's in print, you know, when it's right there. I mean, you know,
they've been floating around today, and then more came out. So, you know, this was a thing that, you know, I think there was some waiting in the wings going, I've got all these emails.
If you're the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay. You're the NFL, mm-hmm. and you go, John Gruden's somewhat iconic, right? Maybe a little overrated as a coach. Okay, let's just call that what it is. But he's a personality, right? And the NFL is about personality.
People are
right?
tuning into
just
the guy.
Really, really.
Yep. And they tune into this Las Vegas team, too,
right.
A lot because of him.
No question about it. You know, he's on Hard Knocks, which is an NFL type of thing. They want to have a guy like John Gruden on Hard Knocks, the whole thing. But here, you know, I'm sure the NFL is going, we're kind of stuck because we've got this great personality, someone we really care a lot about. But, you know, someone probably found them, saw them, and just said, look, NFL, if you don't do something, we're going to. And it had to happen. Or the NFL, someone like Roger Goodell just goes.
He saw the emails and was like, you know what?
I'm going to get John Gruden.
I'm going to get you.
Regardless, it's just a sad situation.
Yeah. Jazz up 43-32. You can tune into that game on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, the Zone Sports Network as well. That's the first home preseason game. It's interesting because, Trent Forrest hit his head pretty hard on the floor. And that was nasty. And he went out. So we'll see what that looks like at the very least in concussion protocol looks like. For Trent Forrest.
I think they need a 4-point play in the NBA. I really do.
You're shooting a 3-point, you make it. And then
it just becomes like this kind of silly.
You're saying if you shoot it from the logo now.
Yeah.
Because now that's become the shot.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. We've got more to talk about with BYU football and the Players Club. No, you're getting ahead of yourself, and I won't stand for it. Gunnar Romney, who had a 100-yard receiving performance against Boise State, 4 receptions for 102 yards, along of 60 yards as well. This is what he had to say today about the team and everybody being responsible for the loss that they incurred against Boise State this Saturday. Take a listen.
Team game, everybody's responsible for their own, you know, for their own job. And, you know, we see it. If one of our boys makes a mistake, then it's our job to step up and, you know, help cover that mistake. So really, it just falls on everybody. You know, it's we win as a team, we lose as a team. So we're not pointing any fingers at anybody. So, you know, like we all can do a better job at our own individual positions to cover up for, you know, maybe some mistakes that we've had. But like Kalani said, you know, it's not on him. It's not on one person. It's not on one player. It's on the entire organization.
I think when you have a loss like this and it's kind of in the middle of the season, it's really something you can absorb. Like, and it was really good to hear the positive comments, you know, and coming out of what was happening. The season's not lost, you know, it's not the end of the world kind of thing. It's disappointing.
All the same stuff you're used to hearing after a loss like that.
Here's what's disappointing, because the schedule really for BYU is one, you know, that if things go right, BYU could go undefeated this year. I mean, and the reason is because you have that Power 5 heavy schedule at the beginning. You get through that 3-0 and people are like, you know, there's a real shot here to have a pretty special year. But BYU can still have a really special year this year. You've got Washington State, and they are whatever they are, but they beat Oregon State last week. I mean, so they're not a garbage team.
How much do you not know about this Pac-12? I mean, my goodness.
It's crazy.
It's wild.
And you have Virginia. You have Baylor. These are all Power 5 schools. And you have USC. USC's very beatable. Right? They're very, very beatable. And leading up to that USC game, you've got Idaho State and Georgia Southern. So it's really, you know, you're not going to get yourself super beat up going into that last.
Yeah,
and USC
yeah.
is in disarray, and it's going to be.
It's going to be even more of a mess, right?
It's going to be a dumpster fire by the time, you know, I wonder if there'll even be enough players.
The coaches
you know
like,
what my biggest
hey,
disappointment
is? A lot of guys didn't come back.
We'll talk about my disappointment.
A lot of guys didn't come back from Thanksgiving. they're looking forward to next year in the transfer portal, or at least this offseason in the transfer portal.
So BYU takes care of business the rest of this season. Then you're looking at, you know, a one-loss team, and that's a really, really special year. And it's very doable. It's a realistic thing. This is not a you know, pie in the sky type of conversation. So as disappointing as this loss is, it's good to see that they've still maintained their composure, their focus, and it'll be a fun, interesting test to see if they can get back on track on the road against a very good Baylor team.
You know what's going to be even more fun is over the next – well, what we've seen with Utah is when they've been in the Pac-12, it's been 10 years of – wondering who their rival is,
yeah.
Pretending like some teams are their rivals, like where they go, oh, right. Colorado, man, what an important game at the very end of the year. Two teams that are
and they
both
put all
located.
The rival games at the end of the season,
right.
You know, Arizona, so, Arizona State, USC,
seems,
UCLA.
Yes, it seems strange, and you just kind of
Utah,
go, well,
Colorado.
Sure, Utah, Colorado. So Baylor was asked about Baylor being a future rival of BYU.
Who asked that question?
I don't know. Just put it on Mitch Harper. Go. Did you ask that question about the future rival? I don't know. At some point, you go, why not? If it's two good teams, why not?
You know, I think this could probably be a future rivalry. I'm not sure about the history. I don't know. This might be the first time they ever played. I'm not sure. But, you know, a new Big 12 opponent, I think this could spark a future rivalry between two teams. So I'm excited to go and get a little bit of get a taste of what it's like there.
Scott, can you just
I mean, if
say
you're
it,
manufacturing
there,
trying to
can you just put it out
no.
there in the universe and
I
go,
think that's going to be a rivalry.
This is going to be a rivalry, man. But if they're two good if they're two teams who win a lot, then you've always said that that's kind of the formula for it. Why not? Especially if Utah refuses to play BYU all the time. Jeez,
is,
man.
Is Boise State a rivalry for BYU?
Absolutely.
See, I almost
why
feel
Why do you not why do you
I
not
almost
this?
Feel like that's a little bit like Colorado and Utah. Just because they're neighboring states, they yep. now have to be rivals.
You want to get a little history lesson, Baylor or Gunnar Romney? You want a history lesson on the series on this series between Baylor and BYU?
I actually wouldn't mind myself.
Hey, BYU's on a win streak right now.
Yeah.
Okay. 1983, they lost against the Baylor Bears 40-36. 1984, fateful season for BYU. By the way.
Yep.
They won that game 47-13. That was the last time the two teams played, 1983-1984. They split that series. BYU's currently on the one-game win streak. So they could extend that win streak.
Well, and that year was a big year. I mean, it was a national championship year.
Yes. So you're talking, 37
now,
years ago.
Now, if BYU had lost that game and lost out on a national championship, now you got a rivalry.
Now you got a rivalry.
But right now, no rivalry.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if they're going to be in the conference, just throw it in there. Is West Virginia going to be a rival? Is Kansas State going to be a rival?
I think it's a good question for BYU. Yeah, who's the rival?
If they're going to have to kind of shake things out, and you're going to have to form over the next 10 years, who's the biggest team in the Big 12 for you to beat after the whole thing gets figured out? TCU is a previous known. They're on the radar as a team you don't like.
TCU.
TCU's up there.
I say TCU.
But TCU's
got to
be good. Right
TCU
now, they're not
and
that
Iowa
great.
State. That's who I pick.
Iowa State.
Yeah,
You just picked two teams that, like, honestly, my wife, if I quizzed her, she would have been like, I think TCU sounds like a real team. Iowa State, not real.
Yeah.
She would have told me Iowa State is not a real team.
Hey, Iowa's number two in the country.
Iowa is number two. Can you stink and believe that? Hey, we got a full second hour here ahead of you. We got a lot of things to discuss. Jeremiah Jensen's going to come on. We're going to break down a little bit of this John Gruden news, sort of digest that a little bit. On top of that, BYU and their first loss of the season. Utah and their first win at the Coliseum since 1916. We'll talk about all that next. Stay right here with us. News, traffic, and weather. Stay with us.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.